Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Authentic You Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Today, we have special guest, Ina Segal. Ina is the author of The Secret Language of Your Body and is the creator of Visionary Intuitive Healing. She is an internationally recognized healer, professional speaker, author, and television host. Ina's product range includes over 30 audio programs on a range of topics as diverse as wellness, pain relief, happiness, confidence, weight loss, and prosperity. She's a gifted healer and a pioneer in the field of energy medicine and human consciousness. She can see illnesses and blocks in a person's body by intuitive means and explain what is occurring and guide people through the self-healing process. So I think it's indeed going to be quite an interesting and enlightening show, and I've had a chance to look at her book, and it's my new favorite go-to book in terms of health and wellness. So let's welcome Ina to the show. Welcome, Ina.
Thank you, Michelle. It's really good to be talking with you.
Likewise. So you're calling all the way from Australia today.
I am.
Wow. So what's the time there right now?
It's 10 in the morning, the following day from you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, it's about, it's 7:01 p.m. here. So, yeah, that's quite a range in time, but you're definitely halfway across the world. So, all right, so let's get started. I guess I'd like to know, and I'm sure the listeners would like to know, a little bit about your background and what an intuitive healer is and how you got to where you are today. I mean, you're an internationally recognized healer, so how did that happen? Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, I was, I think the way it happens when you're really young, because I was quite young when I started, was if you have a lot of pain, you know, and I was going through an experience of, for about 5 years, I was just in pain, whether it was back pain, digestive problems, I had psoriasis on my skin, and I also had anxiety, so I was constantly in some sort of discomfort inside my body. And I was going to see a lot of different practitioners and therapists and chiropractors and doctors, and nothing was really working to help me. I would maybe improve for a little bit, and then I'd go backwards. And so my experience was that one day I actually wake up. I was, I think I just turned 20. I was around that age. I had been suffering with back pain for quite a few years, where to a point where there would be times when I would wake up in the morning and I literally could not get out of bed. I couldn't walk. And so the turning point for me came when I wake up and my back, and that particular day, my back was really twisted and I really felt like I was in agony. I asked my partner to take me to the chiropractor's office, and when I got there, the chiropractor actually came out to have a look at me, and when he walked around me, because he came into the foyer, and he said to me, "Oh, your back is stuck." And I said to him, "Yeah, I know that part. What are you going to do about that?" And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "What do you mean nothing?" And he just said, "Your body wants to be stuck. Go home." So I have to say, on the way back home, I was so angry about what I'd heard and what he told me that I wasn't in as much pain anymore. But I was really starting to reflect on the fact that I had been to everybody that I could think of, and I had kind of given away my power and all my responsibility, thinking that all I had to do was really just show up, and that wasn't the case. So I started to, when I got home, I decided that I was going to heal myself. I didn't really know how to do that, but I had done a lot of acting and drama classes for about 7 or 8 years, and I knew a lot about visualization and meditation and connecting to your body and the breath, and so I just decided to use all the senses that I felt I had to connect with my body. So I started to breathe with my pain. I was counting backwards to relax. I decided to even ask if there was something higher or divine out there that I would, that it helped me heal. And I also started asking to see what was happening inside my body. And at one point, I literally saw my back, and it looked like the light went on. I don't know, it was like as if I just had this x-ray vision for that moment, and I saw my vertebrae and exactly what was happening in my body, and that was a bit of a shock. And then I believe that healing and who I am is more about exploration than knowing how to do things. And so I started exploring and asking questions about whether it was coming from me, from my emotions, from my thoughts, from where, from the experiences that I had, or if this pain that I was carrying was also connected to my family and my ancestors, which I realized that all of those things were connected. And I was just willing to let it all go, you know, whatever was stuck inside me. And honestly, about 20 minutes after starting this process, I fell asleep. And the next day when I woke up, about 70% of the pain was gone. And I knew something profound had happened. So I was very interested after that. And my dream of actually wearing high heels was closer. And I think that but within 3 weeks, I literally had no pain anywhere in my body because I was exploring what was happening every day, and I knew that I really wanted to understand this kind of healing a lot more and explore it.
Wow, that's quite a journey. I mean, you know, to just suddenly see what's going on in your body. So how did it evolve from you, you know, recognizing that you could see within your own body, and how did you take it further and develop it to what you are today with all of these programs, healing of the book, and, you know, being internationally recognized?
Well, afterwards, there was a couple of things that happened. One was that I was actually studying writing and journalism and at the time, and I decided that I wanted to understand what happened to me more, and so I was going to interview people in this field, you know, that had been, you know, that I found interesting, I guess, because I started reading a lot about it, and see if I can start attending their courses and you know, and experience what they're talking about. So that was one of my aims that I kind of put out there and started to work towards. And then I think at the same time, that the thing that happened was that at times when you awaken that kind of ability, you don't really know how to control it at the beginning, and so it starts to kind of pop up everywhere. And so I started having experiences where I could be literally crossing the road and start to sense what was going on around the person who was crossing, you know, next to me. Or I remember being in a yoga class, and I was just really, like all this stuff about this woman that was across from me was coming into my mind, and I was starting to get, you know, a lot of information. And I could see a photo of someone. I remember seeing a photo of this woman as well. And then I would know, like, about her, both her physical health and, you know, like, things that were going on in her life on an emotional levels, on energetic levels. And I remember at one point, actually, with this particular woman, I called her, and I would never do this again, but at that time I must have had more courage and less wisdom. And so I called her, and I, you know, I actually started leaving a message on her answering machine. And then she picked up the phone as I was talking about the things that I was seeing. And it actually turned out to be absolutely accurate. And, you know, it just happened so many times that even though I was doubting it, you know, it happened with people in my family as well. There were too many things that there's no way that I could have known. You know, and I would actually say to myself, I didn't know this. Like, this I could have made up, but this I didn't know for sure. And so it became quite apparent to me that that I was able to do this sort of thing and that I actually wanted to, you know. And so I'm one of those people, I can only do things that I'm meant to do or I really love doing. And so I figured, I must love doing this because I want to, and it's fascinating to me. And so then I started seeing a lot of, after doing lots of different courses, I started seeing clients, and I started kind of, again, that's the word that I'm using, exploring to see what was happening in their bodies. And I would, let's say, think of a process or do a process that I'd been taught, I would be focusing on how their body was reacting energetically and whether things were changing, shifting, or staying the same. And from doing this for quite a few years, I think that you start to become good at it, especially if it's on a daily basis. And you start to understand the body and how it works and how we work on a higher level than just the physical. And also you start to get a sense of the impact that it has on people's lives. And so I guess through that and through then being invited to teach in different cities in Australia and then going to Europe and Asia and America, it just happened slowly, just moving and exploring and sharing and getting a lot of feedback.
Yes. Well, you know, when you're on path, things just seem to flow. So that sounds like, it just rolled along for you and the opportunities came and it kind of branched it from there. So is this, what you do, is it more like a medical intuitive? I know you didn't refer to yourself as a medical intuitive, but just to allow listeners to understand what it is you do exactly, I know medical intuitive is a pretty well-known term.
It is not my favorite term, and I'm one of those people who doesn't like labels that much. But mainly because I really feel like there's got to, when you use the word medical, you should really have some medical training. And although I've worked with doctors and I've studied physiology and anatomy of the body, I don't see myself as a doctor. So to me, I guess if that's what would help people understand what I do, that's just one aspect of it. Because to me, part of medical intuitive is just to read the body. I actually help people heal and transform on many, many different levels and evolve as well, rather than just, using healing as a Band-Aid solution. To me, healing is has very little to do with Band-Aids and a lot to do with real depth and transformation. And I guess it really comes back to knowing who you are on the highest level possible.
So you use the term visionary intuitive healing, or this is the term that you refer to what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, could you explain that a little bit more? Because I think I get it, but the three terms together, could you explain that a little bit better?
Yeah, and it was really interesting because I always ask for inspiration when I'm looking for a name for something. And I really felt like I was guided to that, because before I started to develop my own, visionary intuitive healing modality, I actually got a message, and the message told me that I had to stop interviewing everybody else and start focusing on what I needed to do. I was about turning 25 at that time, and 24 actually, and I was told, you have a year. Yeah, 24, I was told, you have a year to figure out how you're going to teach this and receive the information, which I thought was quite generous, I have to say. And and the name Visionary Intuitive Healing came, and the reason for it, as I've been reflecting on it for quite a while, is, I really believe that at this point in our own evolution, the evolution of the planet, we need to embrace leadership and being a visionary. And and there are so many things that we're seeing right now that I guess are challenging, people don't really like, and we're seeing a lot of destruction and things that a lot of people find difficult to handle. And so to me, a visionary is somebody who can see beyond all that, both within your own life when you have lots of challenges and also within, I guess, the world in general. And so I believe that we all have that capability to start to connect to our own, you know, vision of ourselves and vision of the world that is different to maybe what we see in the media. And then intuitive, I also believe that, you know, in order to really allow flow and connection both with people and what's going on in the world and in your own life and to have guidance, you really need to develop your intuitive abilities. And from my understanding, even if we look at success, most successful people are extremely, extremely intuitive, which to me, intuition is really about connecting to that internal wisdom, you know, thus intuition, internal tuition, you know, and also being open to higher guidance. And then healing, in my perspective, it looks like wholeness, you know, and so we are looking at how do we be more of, again, who we are, whole, intuitive, and a visionary. And so rather than feeling like a victim and feeling stuck, we can actually go, you know what, I have a choice. I have my own vision of my life and the world, and I can, and I have the courage to start to live that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yes. You know, I love that. I love all three of your definitions of each of those words, and they really resonate with me, and particularly the intuitive part, because, you know, that is so true that most of the successful people that we see today are so in tune with their inner self, which is our intuitive self. You know, they're very real and down-to-earth and grounded people that aren't really bothered by all of the, you know, ego things that go on in the world. They're just real. And, you know, that goes hand-in-hand with being really connected to your intuitive self, so I really like that part. So let's get to your book, The Secret Language of Your Body. Now, I really loved Louise Hay's book, and that used to be my go-to book because I really liked that with, you know, if my kids were sick or, you know, something was going on in the family, I would grab that book and take a look. But since receiving the copy of your book, this is my new go-to book because it really takes it further and really defines what the illness is about on an energetic level, and I love it. It just takes it to a whole other level. So can you tell us a little bit about your book and how that all came to be?
And, you know, I really appreciate what you're saying because that's been the kind of feedback that I've been receiving. And so to me, I was working with a lot of clients, obviously, and groups and traveling around the world. And I really felt like it was all fine if I was going to help someone, but that never felt quite completely right. So it kind of felt like, you know, although I was able to help some people or a lot of people, the results that the best results came from people who were also doing homework that I was giving them or things, you know, that they could do on their own. And so I felt like it was such a powerful thing to be able to work with, you know, for people in, you know, I guess all over the world to really be able to connect with their bodies, which to me have incredible amount of wisdom and healing inside them. And that part of empowering people was really to point them back to connecting to themselves. And one of the most powerful experiences that I had was at one point, I think it was still early on when I started doing healing work, a mother who just had a new baby, she called me and she had, and I met her at an expo for children because I also had a new baby at that time. And we, you know, she asked me what I did, and I said I do healing work, and she basically said, well, healing, that sounds weird, I'm not interested, which I thought was fine, but since we had children similar ages, we exchanged phone numbers, and I think a few days later, I got a phone call from her, and it was, I guess, pretty intense phone call, I should say, because she basically called from the hospital and said that one of her children, it was actually her son who was about 6 years old at the time, he was dying. He had pneumonia that developed within a few days, and the doctors were saying that they were losing him. And she said to me, look, I would never call you in any other situation except this one. Is there anything, you know, I'm saying goodbye. Is there anything you can do? And so I said to her, please, please don't say goodbye. And one of the things that I did discover was my ability not only see things in terms of the person being in front of me, but also distance, at a distance. And so I started tuning in, you know, to this to her son. And as I was doing that, I actually saw water all around his lungs, and I also saw that he had a hole in his esophagus. And
wow.
I actually literally started to kind of focus on getting that water out, you know, so like energetically kind of cleansing it and taking it out of his body. And then I called her back probably about, I don't know, 10 minutes later maximum, and I said, how's he doing? And she said, he's improved dramatically. And I said to her, what I want to do is I want to give you a process that you and your husband can do. And I said to her, you know, you have nothing to lose. I'd like you to do it at least 3 times in the next hour and a half. And this process is going to be self-healing for both for your son and for you to calm down. And so I wrote up this process and read it to her, and she wrote it. And honestly, like by the end of the day, her son was fine. In fact, he went home that night.
Wow, that's amazing.
And yeah, and it, to me, it was just, and she did the processes with him. And in, you know, incredibly, within a few months, he was going to a kindergarten. Within a few months, he was healthier than any of the other kids. And so even though the teachers couldn't understand it, they were saying that 3 months earlier, if somebody would breathe on him, he would be in the hospital. And then, like, there were kids who were getting sick, and he was the only healthy one in the class. And so I thought, okay, this is pretty, you know, interesting and extraordinary. And so I, you know, I really wanted to give people both their understanding, so, you know, of the body, and, you know, and I guess connecting to that intelligence of what it has, and then give them processes. And so the way, when I was writing the book, I thought of how, you know, like if I was a person who had, you know, a busy life and had children, which I do, and wanted to, you know, at times had difficulty or, you know, challenges that would come up for me, whether it was emotional, whether it was energetic, whether it was physical, and I just wanted to have something that I could refer to really quickly. How, you know, what kind of book would I want to have? And so that was my vision of the book, you know. And so when I started writing it, I thought, okay, the first part of it is really about understanding ourselves and responsibility and healing. And that responsibility means has very little to do with blame and a lot to do with your willingness to pay attention and say, hey, I have the power here, or I have some power. You know, and so that's why I really encourage people to read the introduction of The Secret Language of Your Body before they get into the other part of it, because it took quite a while to make sure that the explanations were as clear as possible. And then also in the introduction section, there is a process that people can do that was kind of similar to how I connected to my body in the first place. And they can use it to start to explore and understand the different messages that their bodies give, and you know, and how your thoughts, experiences, emotions, environment, different, you know, I guess things that have happened to you, how they affect you on what level. And so you know, and there is also a free download that people can get after they buy the book to work with. And so then there's a section on all the parts of the body. And I thought that, you know what, if we're going to have a problem on a physical level that gets stored somewhere, it'll be in some part of the body. And so I decided to go through every part and look at, again, what are the causes, you know. And these causes are not just from one person, you know. They were things that I discovered by traveling to many, many places in the world and also by working with doctors and other practitioners. And then, you know, after you understand the causes, I felt like it's really important that we start to use all of our bodies, you know, to both let go, release and reprogram. And so there's in every process there is a little kind of part that is about reprogramming your body. And a lot of people have heard about reprogramming your mind, but I believe that we're a lot more than just our minds, and that we can reprogram our minds, our bodies, our nervous systems. And, you know, the nervous system is highly important in this experience of transformation, because that's the communication system in the body, and it's very powerful to start changing things on that level. You know, and so I also tried to use pressure points and, you know, exploring both reflexology and other types of kind of pressure point therapy, yoga. You know, like I tried to use the ancient wisdom that has been available to us with, I guess, the new wisdom that we're constantly discovering, to make those processes as fun and as easy and as, effective as possible. So it's almost like as you're working on yourself, it's so interesting and creative that you don't even realize that you're actually trying to do something to heal. You're just exploring and understanding and connecting to yourself. And I always say to people, if you do that, you'll never get depressed, because you're just way too interesting to get depressed about.
Yes. You know, the book is really well written, and like I said before, I think it's, you know, for people who have read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, which is a fantastic book, but I think this one will take you a little bit further. I think, you know, you've covered all the bases. You know, if someone had a question about, you know, why are we getting particular issues? You know, it just doesn't focus on, you know, positive affirmation, like you say, retraining the brain. It's about retraining other areas, which are also important, and I do agree with that. So, yeah, it's fantastically written, and it really is my new go-to book for sure. I have to ask you, though, Ina, why are so many people these days, and it seems to be worldwide, it seems to be, you know, the common diseases are, you know, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. Why are these things affecting so many people right now?
And I think that is a fantastic question. I think the heart is, you know, and I've talked a lot about this in recent presentations that I've done. The heart is, you know, is connected to the center of who we are. And it's like if the heart stops beating, the body is, I guess, you know, it can't continue, it can't go on. And so, in a sense, that is our most important organ, most important center. And if we look at the heart and we look at the circulatory system, everything that, you know, happens around that area is about breath, right? So we've got the lungs all, you know, right around the heart. We've got the circulation of our body, which is, you know, can be compared to circulation in terms of our lives and what's happening. And I feel like heart disease is really about disconnection from your heart and from feelings, because where your heart is, you have your feelings are stored there. And so when we start to get into the information age and focus on computers and rushing and running around and just, you know, I guess dealing with things in almost in a way as if we were a computer, we forget that actually the body is not just a computer. It has a soul, it has a heart, it has energy, and we need to start to connect with it, and we need to start to communicate with other people, and we need to have an experience of nourishing our heart instead of pushing it away. And I also believe that part of heart disease is people have had a lot of disappointments. And so instead of dealing with that and trying to transform that heartbreak and that feeling of loss, they just block it and push it away. And pushing it away, I guess, causes the heart to almost freeze up and block up. And so then when that happens, you don't get intuitive insights. You don't get passionate and excited and open because you're not really feeling it and you're not dealing with what is going on. So this is my experience from traveling all over the world and seeing people in terms of, you know, developing problems with their heart and really not listening to themselves. In terms of diabetes is also about, I guess, you know, it's connected to our family, it's connected to our power, it's also connected to the fact that all of us need nourishment and sweetness and support in our lives. And when we feel alone and isolated and not supported and, I guess, rejected, then the pancreas starts to degenerate, or it starts, you know, or I guess it starts to develop all sorts of problems inside, and it's showing us, you know what, we really need that sweetness from people. We need to feel, again, that connection and that, you know, the support and I guess safety. And I often, from my experience, diabetes often starts to develop from childhood because that's when we often need it the most from our parents. And even if it doesn't, you know, even if it manifests later in life, often people, you know, I mean, it's often connected to diet and a very high sugar diet. And we have a high sugar diet when we don't feel that we're getting that love and nourishment in other ways, you know, and so, and we're not dealing with lots of different emotions that are coming up. And then cancer, to me, you know, cancer, if I look at what it does, it attacks, right? And so when I've explored cancer with people, and it's really interesting because I'm just thinking of breast cancer and the women that I've met who've had breast cancer, and I've met a lot of women with that problem, they've been the sweetest, nicest women that you'll ever meet. But they would give, you know, they would give so much that they had no more to give, and they had no idea what it meant to receive. And to me, cancer is about either, like, giving away of your power too much or of your energy too much, or, you know, when you feel criticized and attacked and judged, and you do that to yourself as well, because we're usually our own worst enemy in that kind of thing. Nobody can criticize and judge us as much as we can do it to ourselves.
I agree. Yes, I'm terrible for that. So, yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense, because really a lot of these conditions, especially the three main ones that are affecting, you know, people worldwide today, they're really about disconnection, really, a disconnection from the heart, you know, lack of sweetness and joy in life. You know, it's all about disconnection, really.
Yeah, you know, and I think that once, you know, although technology is such a fantastic thing, once you enter that realm, it is so easy to disconnect. And so in a sense, even though what it's trying to do is connect us, the way people are getting connected is more, you know, it's like Facebook. And although I love it and I think it's such a fantastic way to keep in touch with people, it can also make us very lazy. And so our interactions with people can be, you know, summed up in two lines or in one line, you know. Hi, how are you? You know, and it's like rather than a really deep, I guess, and meaningful experience, which is very nourishing to your soul. And, you know, our bodies, the way they're made, is that they need acknowledgement, both from our own selves and from other people. They need nourishment. You know, we need to feel, and this is, I guess, my own experience, is that the times where I felt the most nourished, the most joyous, the most open, and I guess, you know, connected to both, to my own divinity, was when I've had deep and loving interactions with people, and very, and sometimes very surprising ones. And at times, I remember just actually teaching one time in France, and it was funny because I do sometimes, occasionally, not recognize my own limits, and so I just agree to teach, you know, more than, you know, I should at times. And this particular experience was similar. I had 21 days of teaching nonstop, including going to London for a part of this. And so there was no days where I wasn't teaching. And towards the end, I got very, very tired, and because of the kind of teaching that I do is so deep and profound. And at the end of this particular workshop, which was a six-day workshop, people in that group, they sent so much love towards me and so much nourishment that when I tried to stand up, I literally couldn't. My whole body was just shaking from this incredible energy that was being sent into my body, into every cell of my body. And one of my best friends actually came in to the room. And I tried to kind of get up to go towards him, and I literally couldn't, because my body was vibrating with this energy of love, and it was going through every cell. And so the next morning, when I had to teach again, my whole body was just completely energized and full of this vibration of love, because people were willing to share it and I was willing to receive it. And so, you know, I think that this is something that is so important. And, you know, when we do open our hearts, it makes us very vulnerable. And I think that a lot of people don't really like being vulnerable, but it's also so incredibly rewarding and deep when you can do that, you know?
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I find... And I've read, like I say, I've read books like this before, but not like this. I mean, this is a really great book and really thorough. But when I focus on healing my body, I'm a very mental-based person, and I'm kind of the first person to forget about my body. You know, just, oh, just leave that to the side, forget about that. You know, just ignore any symptoms that I have and continue on, because I just, and it's a disconnection for me. You know, I'm kind of disconnected from the neck down. You know, I kind of live up in the head and... forget about my body. So, like you said, you know, really feeling that, feeling in your body, feeling that love, you know, it's difficult for me, and I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with that as well.
Yeah, and you know what, like, one of the, I guess at some point, you have to make a decision and go, if I have this life, and if it was going to be truly meaningful and purposeful for me, would I want to go further now that I know that I can? You know, and then the biggest thing in terms of connecting with your body is touch, you know. And, you know, like, you can make it quite fun and enjoyable. So you can, let's say, you know, you're waiting for something or you're doing something, but you also want to connect or ground yourself a bit more. So what you can do, especially in, or even just in the mornings or at night when you wake up or go to sleep, you can actually massage your toes, you know, and that's a very nurturing thing to do. But the other thing is that every toe is both connected to an organ in the body, a system in the body, and also a chakra, you know, which is an energy center. And so by just massaging your toes and also your fingers, you can actually create a fantastic connection with your body. And also in my book, I actually connected to emotions. And so once you have a little bit of understanding maybe of the chakras and the different emotions and colors, because I talk about colors in the secret language of your body as well, you can start to incorporate the simple things. And, you know, you might have 2 minutes where you're waiting for something or you're taking a break from your computer, and you just literally just massage your fingers and massage, you know, and then I ask people with their hands or their toes, you know, to rub their hands together, rubbing every finger. And even doing that actually awakens your whole system and your circulatory system in the body. And, you know, and then you can do things like just massaging your ears. And that's a very simple thing to do, but it's also one of those parts of the body that awakens your whole, you know, your whole body and allows your circulatory system and your energy to start flowing, and is very beneficial for anything to do with blood, you know. And since we are made up of a huge amount of blood, we might as well, you know, give it a boost as much as we can. And so, you know, even placing your hands on a part of your body where, even if you're feeling disconnection there, like we're talking about the heart before, placing your hands on your heart, breathing into it, and, you know, visualizing a color or acknowledging your heart and thanking it, and I have a great process in the secret language of your body for the heart, has such an enormous benefit to your health. And I guess, you know, if you understand that you can do this for, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes, and it makes such a huge change, then, you know, I think it makes it more likely and worthwhile to do it.
I agree. You know, the massage thing is so true. And, you know, I don't do it for myself, but when I, you know, rope my husband into giving me a massage, right? You know, we all do it, get our poor old dear husband to be our personal masseuse, right? When he does this, you know, everything changes. You know, my immune system seems to function better. I sleep better. You know, everything, it just seems to be so grounding and, you know, physically rewarding, you know. Just not the muscles, it's everything. You know, everything gets a boost, like you say.
You know,
so
and the great...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just the last thing, the great thing about massaging your feet is that you, even if you have no idea where they're connected, like what parts of the body are connected to, are connecting to the points on your feet, you can focus on just doing the whole foot, and it's going to have such incredible benefits for your back, for your neck, for, I guess, every aspect of your body. And so I highly suggest that you don't wait for your partner to do it, but, you know, give yourself the experience of taking care of yourself.
I agree, and I do need to do that more. So I want to put out there, Ina, for anyone who may be patiently waiting to either call in or send a question in through chat, the call-in number is 1-877-296-0345, and that's toll-free, or you can send in a question via chat. And I see we already have one in chat. We have a question from Derek Cooper. He is wondering if there's any non-medical things that he can do at home for a toothache.
There are actually a lot of things that can be done for toothache. However, I still would suggest to go and see a doctor at some point, you know, a dentist at some point. I do actually have a section in the book to do with teeth. And one of the things that you can do, you know, just briefly to help with some pain relief is to place your, I guess, clasp your hands together and placing, you know, between your thumb and your index finger, there's an area where you, in the middle of it, where you press with your other thumb. And this is a great point for pain relief in general. So it's kind of in that arc, we'll call it. And so by pressing on it, that would be helpful in general as a point for pain relief. And then with teeth, one of the things that I talk about is, you know, visualizing that you have a small kind of vacuum cleaner which is able to, you know, like the way they do it with, you know, when you go to a dentist, but which is able to suck out all the density and toxins out of the teeth. And, you know, and literally visualizing it coming out, and then using different colors like white to just kind of focus on cleansing it. But the other things that I have here is touching the tip of your thumb with the tip of your little finger, and then straightening your other fingers and doing that on both hands for 10 minutes for relief. So again, the tip of your thumb with the tip of your little finger while straightening the other ones. And you might do that for, let's say, 10 minutes, sometimes up to 15, and that's, I guess, a point that's very helpful as well with releasing tooth pain and toothache.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I've never had a toothache in my life, but if I ever did, I mean, I would definitely try these things for sure because I don't like the dentist. You know, I have a question for you, actually. You had mentioned in the beginning that you had suffered from psoriasis, and I also suffer from psoriasis, and I have had, and people who know me would never know that I do, simply because I do a good job of, you know, not letting people know this. Of course, you know what it's like to have something like this, to keep it under wraps. But, you know, I've had it since I was 13, and I've never had a remission. I've always had it, and my immune system has always been flared, and I've tried everything under the sun. I've literally tried the sun and all those different kinds of creams and things, and nothing has worked. And, you know, again, like I say, I'm really disconnected from my body. I know this. I know that I'm really not, you know, I don't focus on my body a whole lot, and my home base is in my brain. That's kind of where I am for the most part. I mean, I use my intuition a lot, but it's just do that, and then I come back out, and I'm in my head. So do you have any advice for me?
I do, because if you look, like, where does it come out on your skin?
Actually, I have a rare form, which is the gut 8 psoriasis, which is the smaller teardrop shape one. So it's kind of everywhere, you know. If I have a really bad flare, it's, you know, it's pretty much covering a good portion of my body at any given time.
Okay. So I guess I'm looking also in my book at the process on skin, you know, because it's coming out on the skin, and we've already established that the, you know, it's connected to inflammation. So I would be looking at, if nothing, and this is really important for people who are listening, if nothing helps you in terms of creams and different things like that, and then it has to be internal. It's somehow an internal experience, and also, obviously, if it's skin, it's going to be connected to your blood, you know. And so one of the ways that you might work with the book is to go both, like, to all different aspects of it. I'd go to the skin, I would go to the blood, I would go to different emotions that are connected with it and start to really explore what's going on. And so if we look at the skin, you know, it's all about failure to protect or be protected. And so then I might, like you mentioned, for example, that it happened when you were 13. And so I would go, well, let's explore what was going on in your life at 13, because often psoriasis, unless you have it in your family, which I didn't ask you if you do.
I do, yes. On both sides, okay. Actually. Yeah.
Okay. So then we're looking at it as being genetic, but it got activated at 13. You know, and often psoriasis, if you go back, comes from some sort of shock or trauma in the body, and so even if it's there, it gets activated, you know. And it's like that whatever has gone in there, that experience of a particular shock or a trauma, it stays in your nervous system. Thus, if we start to understand it, then we have to go, well, you've also got to work on the nervous system and get a sense of, like, well, why is this still being held in there. And I don't know if you recognize if there was some shock or something that happened to you when you were 13 or just before.
I don't think so, but, you know, I think I had the classic case of the streptococcus, you know, the sore throat that sometimes is an activation for it. I remember having a very, very bad sore throat around that time, and that's shortly thereafter is when I had the outbreak. So yeah, I think that was connected to that. So I don't know if there was any or physical or emotional trauma, but...
And you know what, the trauma could be somebody saying something to you when you were at a particular age that that activated, you know, and so that made you feel very uncomfortable. Because if we look at the skin, it's like it's about failure to protect or be protected, right? Feeling irritated, angry, frustrated, like something or someone is getting under your skin, and psoriasis literally feels like something's under your skin. You know, disapproval, criticism, invalidation, even, you know, hatred of self, timid, withdrawn, insecure, feeling second best, you know, any of those things and other ones can start to, you know, I guess put up protection. And it's not just psoriasis, most skin conditions are connected to somehow we were either told not to be ourselves, not to connect to ourselves, not to listen to ourselves, you know, somehow to not regard our own wisdom as important, you know, and to feel whether it's second best or somewhere, hey, I'm not protected. I don't know how to, you know, how to do this in terms of myself. And so, you know, the scaly skin that comes either from psoriasis or from many other skin conditions is almost there to protect us from anything coming too close. And so this is a really internal exploration of where it's coming from, who you are, whether, you know, how you feel in your life, what happened to you, and then moving from feeling unprotected to feeling, okay, I am capable of protecting myself and of, you know, and of taking back my power.
Agree with that. Yeah, I 100% I agree with that, because that's, you know, you mentioned every single thing that I've had issues with. You know, up until this point, I've really had, you know, major issues with feeling not good enough, you know, the whole self-criticism thing, you know, and I've worked through a lot of it, and, you know, I think I've come a long way, but I think I still have a lot of work to do in those areas. But, yeah, I think you're dead on with that, you know, it does have a lot to do with that for sure. Thank you. Thank you for that. So do you have, I mean, we have about 7 minutes left, and I would like to ask you this one last question. If there was one thing that you could tell the world about healing and, you know, not necessarily of a specific condition, but is there something in general that you would tell the world about how to heal their body?
Yeah, I really, the first thing would be that we need to start honoring our bodies and realizing that our bodies, I guess, have been given to us as our vessels, as our homes, as breathing, living, energetic mechanisms that have incredible wisdom. And I truly believe that we need to start honoring that and giving our bodies the opportunity to express and show the wisdom that it has. I also believe that, you know, in order for us to be healthier and more connected both to our bodies, our you know, people in our lives, and to our own life purpose, we need to start paying attention to them, and we need to start, as you and I have talked about it, start connecting to the intuitive aspect that is kind of built in, you know, into our bodies to guide us. And I really believe that if you give your body a chance and you really connect with it, and rather than and listen to it, and rather than just constantly thinking, okay, how do I get somebody from outside of me or something from outside of me to help me be better or fix me or heal me or save me in some way, whether it's you know, money or work related or health related, if we can actually realize all the wisdom is internal, and then what we need to do is have the courage and the trust to start using it and sharing it with other people. And, you know, this is why when I wrote the book, I really, you know, I wanted it to be shared. You know, I wanted to encourage people to get together. You know, rather than thinking that healing had to be alone experience, it was both an experience of you connecting to yourself, but also an interactive experience where you can get a few of your friends together and share it and try it out and explore and ask questions and actually acknowledge that what we've been given here is such a powerful mechanism, and that we are, you know, flowing, living, energetic, expansive, miraculous, and that we, by using it, we will actually truly empower ourselves and realize how incredible we actually are, not by putting on, you know, different airs and thinking, well, I'm so good, but really it's that awe of, hey, what I've been given is this incredibly divine aspect that can help me heal and can help me, you know, experience incredibly loving, joyful things in this life.
Fantastic. So, you know, is there a way that we can reach you on the web? Do you have a website that we can find out more information about you and your different audio programs that you have, and also about your book, The Secret Language of Your Body?
Yeah, well, I actually have two websites. One is a general one, which is called innasegal.com. So that's InnaSegal.com. Then I've got InnaSegalStore.com. And in the store is where there's about, you know, over 30 different audio programs that people can download and work with in terms of whether it's healing their body, releasing pain in a child, or, as you know, you've mentioned before, weight loss, whatever it is, you've got that option to explore. And people can also join me on Facebook by just putting in Inna Segal.
Yes, yeah, I forgot about Facebook, of course. So thank you so much, Inna. It was wonderful. I knew it was going to be a great show, and I've learned a lot, and I'm definitely going to read more of your book. You know, I haven't read it all yet, but I've definitely taken a look at all the different things that are affecting my life and my family's life. So, yeah, a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. Everyone should check out InnaSegal.com and get a copy, ASAP. So thank you so much,
thank
Inna.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for having me. Bye.
No problem. My pleasure. Okay, now next week's episode is going to be another fantastic show. We're going to have Emmy Award-winning choreographer and director, author, and crayon artist Doug Jack. His book, The Backside of Wonderful, is a must-read, and his crayon art will leave you speechless. Trust me, I've met this guy, and he is unbelievable. You know, his art is fantastic, and he is one of the most authentic people I have met yet, and it's been quite a transformational experience to meet him, and I can't wait to introduce him to you live on air next week. Actually, I'm sorry, I have to correct that. It's not next week. Next week's show, we won't be having a show. I'm attending a grand opening for a center here for a good friend of mine. So it will be March 3rd. We'll be back on air with Doug Jack. So thank you so much for listening, and see you on March 3rd.